Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Keystone of democracy.
I love your valleys and hills. I always will. You're the one great state that I am always for.
Here is another in the statewide series of programs known as Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy. Historical dramatization showing the part that our own state of Pennsylvania plays in the life and success of these 48 United States. This series is prepared and produced by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense in order to acquaint you better with the glorious history of our great Commonwealth, Pennsylvania, Keystone of
Pennsylvania,
Democracy.
Pennsylvania, and no matter where I roam, you will always be home, sweet home to me, Pennsylvania, my home.
Liberty without obedience is confusion, and obedience without liberty is slavery. Government seems to me a part of religion itself, a thing sacred in its institution and end. You shall be governed by laws of your own making and live a free and, if you will, a sober and industrious people. These are the prophetic words of William Penn, the founder and first governor of Pennsylvania. He has a secure place among the great men in history as a model of wisdom, tolerance, and enlightenment in government. The story of how he settled Pennsylvania is one of the most fascinating tales in all history. Let us go back to the year 1670, at a time when the Quakers were being persecuted for their religious beliefs, as were the Puritans before them.
Did you hear that William Penn, the son of the Admiral, is a Quaker?
The young rebel.
These Quakers are becoming a menace to our established law and order. Why would you believe it? They refuse to remove their hats before their betters.
Disrespectful.
Contemptuous.
And that's not all. They actually refuse to take an oath in the king's court. It's against their religion.
And another thing. They simply refuse to support our good Church of England.
Is there no punishment for these lawbreakers, these disturbers of our peace?
Thousands of them are in jail already, and still they cling to their strange belief.
You know what I think. They're a danger to the crown. They're political enemies, insurrectionists in disguise, waiting to overthrow the king.
For the safety of our government, this reckless young William Penn must be suppressed.
He ought to be brought to trial.
He and his group should be cast in prison.
No mercy should be shown.
Down with the traitors.
Down with the traitors.
William Penn, together with a number of independents and Baptists, was arrested and brought to trial on an indictment charging him with preaching to an unlawful assembly and disturbing the king's peace. When brought before the judge, Penn declared that he had only been worshiping God according to his conscience and had broken no law.
Shall I plead to an indictment that hath no foundation in law? I defy thee to produce the law that thou sayest I have broken.
You are a saucy fellow. Speak to the indictment. The question is whether you are guilty.
The question is not whether I am guilty of this indictment, but whether this indictment be legal.
You are a troublesome fellow. Take him away, Sheriff!
Yes, take him away!
Penn stood up sturdily for what he believed to be his rights and the rights of all Englishmen. Refusing to bring in a verdict against him, the jury was sent out again and again. But each time they returned to declare,
"We find the defendant not guilty, Your Honor."
Gentlemen of the jury, this is an outrage! You must exercise your duties and find the defendant guilty as you are instructed in a charge made by this court.
It is intolerable that my jury should be thus menaced. Is this according to the fundamental law? Are not they my proper judges by the charter of the royal government? What hope is there of ever having justice done when juries are threatened and their verdicts rejected? As for my religion,
silence.
Father, give us a better faith, or leave us with the one we have.
Silence! Silence!
Small wonder that William Penn and thousands persecuted for their religious beliefs should look to the New World for refuge. To find a haven where his people might live in peace, William Penn seeks an audience with Charles II, King of England.
Thou didst owe my late father £16,000. And part of this sum was borrowed from him. Part of it was his unpaid salary.
Master Penn, we recall with a deep sense of gratitude the noble services rendered to the royal crown by your departed father, the Admiral. We recall also the indebtedness of which you speak and recognize the obligation. But I can assure you, sir, that the royal money bags are as empty as last night's bottle.
It is not for money that I came.
Not for money? Good, then. What would you have instead?
Wilt thou give me land in the American colonies in settlement of the debt?
If it is land that you wish, sir, I will give it to you willingly. Of that there is plenty. Bring me a chart of the New World.
Here is one, Your Majesty.
Now, point out to us the land you desire, Master Penn.
I want the Delaware River here to be the eastern boundary of my province. I would like the land to extend westward 5 degrees in longitude, an area 300 miles long and 160 miles wide.
Fair enough, it is granted. What name have you chosen for this territory?
I've considered many names for it. New Wales is one that I like.
I see no need to honor the Welsh particularly.
Why not call it Penn's land?
I do not wish to glorify my own name.
Simple enough. Say that it was named after your father.
Even so, modesty forbids. However, I have also thought of calling it by the Latin word Sylvania, because much of the land is a forest.
I have it. It shall be Pennsylvania for Penn's woods. Here, the quill pen and inkhorn.
I beseech thee not to write my name. I am a humble man.
Enough! With your father's name also, we honor him, not you. William Penn, you are now proprietor of Pennsylvania and master of all the souls who live therein.
God help me to give this new colony freedom from religious and political intolerance.
Sailing on the ship Welcome with about 100 passengers, William Penn arrived in this country in 1682. His first step was the setting up of his famous frame of government, in essence, the first constitution of Pennsylvania. A holy experiment, it was called, governing on the basis of freedom and equality of God-fearing men. William Penn is explaining some of the provisions of the frame of government to a group of interested colonists.
Gentlemen, I believe that any government is free to the people under it, whatever be the frame, where the laws rule and the people are a party to those laws. The frame of laws which I have here has been carefully contrived to secure the people from abuse of power. Not one nor five, but 20 drafts and revisions have been made before I arrived at the present one.
And what, may I ask, does it contain?
In the first place, everyone is allowed to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. This, I believe, to be an inherent right.
That is as it should be. God be praised.
I have always said we can never be the better for our religion if our neighbor be the worse for it.
What will the form of government be like?
It will consist of a governor, a provincial council, and a general assembly. These bodies are to make laws, create courts, choose officers, transact business affairs, and are to be elected by the freemen by ballot.
You mean that I and Hayden here and Olaf and Herman and everybody all have the right to vote?
Yes, all freemen. Not only landholders, but every inhabitant that pays taxes to the government.
Sure, and that may be fine, Mr. Penn, but who's to decide what taxes we are to pay and how much?
No laws can be passed or money raised without the people's consent. Remember, Patrick, thou art one of the people with a right to vote.
That is all very good. Just the way it should be like.
Can I buy my own land and own it myself?
The humblest colonists will be permitted to own land, as do the noblemen across the seas. Land will be sold at £5 per 100 acres. And another thing, friends, in the matter of crime, there will be trial by a jury of felonmen. Prisons are to be workhouses, which will be kept clean, and efforts will be made to reform the prisoner.
In this new land, it is indeed a new life you are building for the common people, Mr. Penn.
My good men, remember this always. Let the people choose the wisest amongst them to make their laws, and they will be well governed.
Another important phase of William Penn's administrative and governing ability was his wise and just handling of the Indians. Instead of merely ordering them out of the territory he wished to colonize, Penn arranges a meeting with the chief of the tribe in a council of peace.
I have great love and regard toward thee and thy people, and desire to win, gain thy friendship by a kind, just, and peaceable life.
Good pale face.
For the privilege of settling in thy land, I wish to sign a treaty and offer thee many gifts in return.
Red men make treaty white skin.
I wish to assure thee that the white men are thy friends always. Dost thou understand?
Smokum pipe peace.
And I, chief, offer thee an old custom of the white man's in return. Here, give me thy hand and let me shake it. May we live together in love and brotherhood, and share the blessing bestowed upon us by the Great Spirit, our Heavenly Father.
The lofty principles of religious freedom and political democracy as set forth by William Penn established our great commonwealth as the keystone of democracy.
Our common ideals today are still clustered around the doctrines expounded by William Penn.
Today, America is at war in order to preserve those ideals of tolerance and liberty.
Pennsylvania is leading in that fight to protect our ideals and aid the cause of freedom. Today, as always, that is the role of Pennsylvania, keystone of democracy.
You've just heard Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy, presented by the Pennsylvania Historical Commission in cooperation with the State Council of Defense. Today's story was devoted to William Penn and his contribution to the cause of American freedom. You can help today by your effort in the field, mine, and factory. Conserve war materials, prevent waste, and buy defense bonds and stamps. And tune in again next week to hear Pennsylvania, Keystone of Democracy.
Pennsylvania, and no matter what.